The next step in Don Juan's teachings was a new aspect of mastering the second portion of the Datura route. In the time that elapsed between the two stages of learning, Don Juan inquired only about the development of my plant. Saturday, June 29th, 1963. I brought up the subject of the devil's weed. I wanted Don Juan to tell me more about it, and yet I did not want to be committed to participate. The second portion is used only to divine, isn't that so, Don Juan? I asked to start the conversation. Not only to divine. One learns the sorcery of the lizards with the aid of the second portion, and at the same time one tests the devil's weed. But in reality, the second portion is used for other purposes. The sorcery of the lizards is only the beginning. Then what is it used for, Don Juan? He did not answer. He abruptly changed the subject and asked me how big were the Datura plants growing around my own plant. I made a gesture of size. Don Juan said, I've taught you how to tell a male from a female. Now go to your plants and bring me both. Saturday, July 6th, 1963. On Monday, July 1st, I cut the Datura plants Don Juan had asked for. I took the plants to Don Juan's house on Tuesday, July 2nd. He opened the bundles and examined the pieces. He said it would take 2 days to prepare this second portion. He told me not to eat anything in the meantime. I could have water, but no food at all. The next day, Thursday, July 4th, Don Juan directed me to leach the root 4 times. By the last time I poured the water out of the bowl, it had already become dark. We sat on the porch. He put both bowls in front of him. The root extract measured a teaspoon of a whitish starch. He put it into a cup and added water. He rotated the cup in his hand to dissolve the substance and then handed the cup to me. He told me to drink all that was in the cup. I drank it fast and then put the cup on the floor and slumped back. My heart began pounding. I felt I could not breathe. Don Juan ordered me matter-of-factly to take off all my clothes. I asked him why, and he said I had to rub myself with the paste. I hesitated. I did not know whether to undress. Don Juan urged me to hurry up. He said there was very little time to fool around. I followed his directions. The paste was cold and had a particularly strong odor. When I had finished applying it, I straightened up. The smell from the mixture entered my nostrils. It was suffocating me. The pungent odor was actually choking me. It was like a gas of some sort. I tried to breathe through my mouth and tried to talk to Don Juan, but I couldn't. Don Juan kept staring at me. I took a step toward him. My legs were rubbery and long, extremely long. I took another step. My knee joints felt springy like a vault pole. They shook and vibrated and contracted elastically. I moved forward. The motion of my body was slow and shaky. It was more like a tremor, forward and up. I looked down and saw Don Juan sitting below me, way below me. The momentum carried me forward one more step, which was even more elastic and longer than the preceding one. And from there, I soared. I remember coming down once, then I pushed up with both feet, sprang backwards, and glided on my back. I saw the dark sky above me and the clouds going by me. I jerked my body so I could look down. I saw the dark mass of the mountains. My speed was extraordinary. My arms were fixed, folded against my sides. My head was the directional unit. If I kept it bent backwards, I made vertical circles. I changed directions by turning my head to the side. I enjoyed such freedom and swiftness as I had never known before. The marvelous darkness gave me a feeling of sadness, of longing, perhaps. It was as if I had found a place where I belonged, the darkness of the night. I tried to look around, but all I sensed was that the night was serene, and yet it held so much power. Suddenly I knew it was time to come down. It was as if I had been given an order I had to obey, and I began descending like a feather with lateral motions. That type of movement made me very ill. It was slow and jerky, as though I were being lowered by pulleys. I got sick. My head was bursting with the most excruciating pain. A kind of blackness enveloped me. I was very aware of the feeling of being suspended in it. The next thing I remember is the feeling of waking up. I was in my bed, in my own room. I sat up, and the image of my room dissolved. I stood up. I was naked. The motion of standing made me sick again. I recognized some of the landmarks. I was about 1/2 mile from Don Juan's house, near the place of his Datura plants. Suddenly everything fitted into place, and I realized that I would have to walk all the way back to his house naked. To be deprived of clothes was a profound psychological disadvantage. but there was nothing I could do to solve the problem. I thought of making myself a skirt with branches, but the thought seemed ludicrous, and besides, it was soon going to be dawn, for the morning twilight was already clear. I forgot about my discomfort and my nausea and started to walk toward the house. I was obsessed with the fear of being discovered. I watched for people and dogs. I tried to run, but I hurt my feet on the small, sharp stones. I walked slowly. It was already very clear. Then I saw somebody coming up the road, and I quickly jumped behind the bushes. My situation seemed so incongruous to me. A moment before I had been enjoying the unbelievable pleasure of flying, the next minute I found myself hiding, embarrassed by my own nakedness. I thought of jumping out on the road again and running with all my might past the person who was coming. I thought he would be so startled that by the time he realized it was a naked man, I would have left him far behind. I thought all that, but I did not dare to move. The person coming up the road was just upon me and stopped walking. I heard him calling my name. It was Don Juan, and he had my clothes. As I put them on, he looked at me and he laughed. He laughed so hard that I wound up laughing too. The same day, Friday, July 5th, late in the afternoon, Don Juan asked me to narrate the details of my experience. As carefully as I could, I related the whole episode. "The second portion of the devil's weed is used to fly," he said when I had finished. "The unguent by itself is not enough. My benefactor said that it is the root that gives direction and wisdom, and it is the cause of flying. As you learn more and take it often in order to fly, you will begin to see everything with great clarity." There was a question I wanted to ask him. I knew he was going to evade it, so I waited for him to mention the subject. I waited all day. Finally, before I left that evening, I had to ask him, "Did I really fly, Don Juan?" "That is what you told me, didn't you?" "I know, Don Juan. I mean, did my body fly? Did I take off like a bird?" "You always ask me questions I cannot answer." "You flew. That is what the second portion of the devil's weed is for. As you take more of it, you will learn how to fly perfectly. It's not a simple matter. A man flies with the help of the second portion of the devil's weed. That is all I can tell you. What you want to know makes no sense. Birds fly like birds, and a man who has taken the devil's weed flies as such. El enyerbado vuela así.
As birds do? Así como los pájaros? No. He flies as a man who has taken the weed. No. Así como los enyerbados.
Let's put it another way, Don Juan. What I meant to say is that if I had tied myself to a rock with a heavy chain, I would have flown just the same because my body had nothing to do with my flying? Don Juan looked at me incredulously. "If you tie yourself to a rock," he said, "I'm afraid you will have to fly holding the rock with its heavy chain."